Good morning. Today's scripture readings from Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out of the spirit of the Lord, who said to me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and I will come to life. I will attach tendons to make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am Lord." So I prophesied, and I was commanded. And I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into the slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied, and he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says: O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you forth from them, and I will bring you back from the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. Then you will know that I am Lord, and have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I thank our brother for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? Father, thank you for these words. More than simply ink on paper, they're not dead, they're alive. Thank you for helping us to receive them as a clear message from you, that you seek for us to be reborn also in our lives. It's in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, that we pray. Amen. You know, a dear sister in Christ called her neighbor, which she was good friends with. Whenever she had problems, she knew she could call this brother in Christ, and simply had said to him over the phone, "I'm having a lot of troubles with this puzzle, jigsaw puzzle." And she said to him, "You know, there's supposed to be a picture on this box that I'm following, and I think it's a picture of an animal. I think it's a picture of a rooster, actually. Could you come over and help me?" And he said, sure, no problem. So he got over to the house and he looked at the box, and sure enough, it was a picture of a rooster. But he quietly and as calmly as possible said to her, "You know, I think we should put on some hot water for tea and push the cornflakes back into the box, and then let's talk a little bit more." Hold on, let me address these just for a second, okay? Sometimes life gives us puzzles. Challenging things, difficult things. And I'm not talking about jigsaw puzzles, I'm talking about the puzzles that confront us whenever someone is suddenly sick. The puzzles that confront us whenever someone we love is dealing with constant pain. The puzzles that confront us whenever someone too young dies and goes to be with God. The puzzles that confront us whenever all sorts of brokenness seems to be filling our lives, and our lives are filled more with news of brokenness than good news, seemingly. Life is not for sissies. Growing old is not. I knew some of you would know that. And yet, today we have hope. Because even in the midst of facing those challenges and our bones feeling dry and worn down, God has something in store for us. And that doesn't mean that God has stopped working. In the midst of the dryness in our lives, in the midst of that, God continues to wash over us with His grace. I don't know if you've ever experienced dryness in your life, specifically spiritually. If you've ever been confused as to what the future may hold, or even what step to take next in your life. But if you have, this scripture is a word of power and redemption for you today. It's a good Sunday to be here. We continue on that Lenten journey, and we continue on that journey of emptying of ourselves and filling ourselves more and more with God, to understand that it really isn't about us. It's about God at work in us and through us and with us in every way, all encompassing. That's the kind of God that we have. That's the kind of Heavenly Father that we have today and each day. That is the God who speaks in this passage today. There's a lot of ways of being able to look at this passage. There really are. One of the ways to be able to consider it is historically. This was at a time in history for the nation of Israel, that the people of God as a nation, in which they were in disarray. They were a conquered people. There had been much bloodshed, much warfare, and particularly here in this instance, the Babylonian Empire had taken them, conquered them, and put their necks in binders and dragged them off out of their homeland into exile. This was a nation in which could understand dryness, brokenness, bones scattered about. They weren't feeling mighty or empowered at all. And yet into that historical reality and into that part of their history in which they needed to be reinvigorated and reminded of who defined them comes this prophecy. Now, after these words in the scripture that was read by our brother in Christ this morning, there are further words that point to God restoring His people, that point to God restoring the temple. You see, the temple had been destroyed as well. And the temple was always something that those people of God could kind of look to as symbolizing God's presence with them. God was in that temple. They could point to it. They knew it for sure. And so if it had been torn down and destroyed, where was God now? Maybe that's a question that we have asked ourselves. When things in our lives have been torn down that pointed to God, that pointed towards family, that pointed towards hope, that pointed towards love. When those things in our lives have been torn down, where was God now? Out of the ashes, God rises. Out of brokenness, God rises. And indeed, we understand as Christians that death is not the final answer either. The cross reminds us of that. Death is not the final answer, but rather an ushering into a whole new realm of living, true living. For us, we have a God today and every day who is a God who is in the midst of the dry bones, in the midst of seemingly unanswered prayers, in the midst of working a miracle of redemption in our lives. There is this ongoing clash and tension in the world, and I want to go ahead and name it today. The clash is between these two beliefs, and you'll see this if you're open to it. The one belief is God can take that which is dead and make it alive. Amen? That is the one belief. The other belief says, no, God can't. God cannot take that which was dead and make it alive. And there will always be those tensions in the world. As we start to conclude this Lenten journey that we've been on for this year, but I would pray that you would still have a mindset on Lenten things and on humility and on vulnerability and opening yourself to be blessed by God. As we continue on this journey, we can keep mindful of that as we get closer and closer to really considering the cross. We've been trying to do that throughout Lent, and what that means. But this conflict, this tension, is at the core of what we will be confronted with personally and what others will confront us with as well. I've shared with many of you in groups or one-on-one, and I've shared in these gatherings as we are together as God's family this morning, this reality that you are disciples. Okay? You really are, whether you want to or not. And you might say, I don't wanna. But God is still calling you. And so when you're those disciples, what you're pointing to is God in your life. You don't have to give all the right answers, but you will be confronted with that tension, I guarantee you. You'll be confronted with that tension that we're speaking about this morning. God can raise something from the dead. Yes, we believe that. And there are going to be people that come up right in front of you and right before you and say, no, he can't. There's no such thing. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and sent me down in the middle of a valley. And it was full of bones. The hand of the Lord brought me out. God's hand literally upon the prophet, but God's hand literally upon his people. What does that mean? It means that God is going to be intimately involved in our lives. Whenever we grab hands, excuse me, at the end of worship, sometimes, whenever people hear for the first time and they see that, they kind of look at the person next to them, not really sure who they're grabbing on to, not sure if they want to hold hands. And remarkably, everybody does it. From all sorts of backgrounds, coming from all sorts of situations and circumstances, coming from every place on that continuum spiritually, it doesn't matter. We hold on because we are God's family and we are called to be his church. United, one, ready to share God's love. But whenever we hold one another's hands also, we can remember that God is holding ours. God's hand and God's touch is upon us. And right at the very beginning of this scripture, it says it. That's why I think whenever we read the Bible, we need to really kind of step back. Because how many of you have heard the story of the dry bones? How many of you in your mind was singing, "Dem bones, dem bones"? Yeah, you were doing that. I know this one. Okay, but you really don't. None of us do, because this is a living word. It's not something that we simply memorize and we check off. Okay, I know that story. Okay, I got that one, God. Give me something else. What have you done for me lately? Give me something new and exciting. Well, his word is always new and exciting. And I need to emphasize that today, because not enough people are getting into his word to be blessed. I'm not saying that to chastise anybody. I'm not saying that whenever I come to visit you, you need to dust this thing off and get it on the top of the table rather than underneath. Or if I say, is there a Bible in the house? And people go, now where was that? There, we have one, I think we have it. And you open up a box and it's in there and it's never really been cracked. And so, okay, I'm not chastising. I'm just encouraging you, because the word of God is alive and well. Amen? And whenever we open it, we hear that the hand of the Lord is upon those who are open to him. Now, isn't that something that you would like to hear today? I'm open to you, God, and I know your hand is upon me. And even when you deliver me, or whenever you guide me into places seemingly of desolation and death, that's not the final answer. It's interesting, too, that in this particular scripture passage, and this is something that I was just reminded of whenever I read it over again. So we're all in the same boat, folks, okay? We're all in the same boat. We're all learning. Is that Ezekiel, it wasn't just kind of a cursory look. It wasn't like he looked over, I'm not saying your dry bones, but it's not like he looked over that, okay? It's not like he was saying, oh, yeah, okay, there it is. He spent some time, and he spent some time wandering around and traveling through it. Can you imagine, really, walking through a valley where it's all just bones and just kind of walking over that and around that? What happens next reminds us that we have a God who's never through. Think about that. We have a God who is never finished with us. There's a rattling. And with all respect to world events that have been taking place, we can sense that it was powerful like an earthquake, okay? It was not something subtle. It was not something gentle. And when God works in our lives, sometimes it happens in ways that are jarring, aren't they? Bringing us back to an awareness of him, going through a particularly painful time, and on the other side of it thinking, wow, Lord, you were there, or I have seen you, or I see you right now. Thank you, Lord. I love you. This is jarring, these bones coming together. And not only do the bones come together, but what do we understand? There's bodies that start forming around these bones. And I'm not someone that is familiar with all the muscles and the sinews and the joints and such, but it's all coming together. God knew everything that needed to happen for these bones to come back to life. And then what finally happens? They're not fully human again until what? The Spirit of God, the breath of God, the Holy Spirit washes into them, fills them, and enlivens them again to be his people. Does that remind us that the Holy Spirit is essential for our lives? Does that remind us that without the Holy Spirit, we really aren't God's people? Amen. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. God was sharing here that his people, even when they turn away from him, that his people, even when they seek to be about their own plans. That his people, even when they forget who is in charge, who they belong to, even after they find themselves in the mess that they create, God continues to be at work in their lives. Folks, whenever I think of the hymn, Amazing Grace, that's all that I can say to that kind of grace for my life. It's amazing. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it, but God still pours that grace over me, as he does for each of us here today. That grace is washing over each and every one of us, his children, his people here today. I understand that there was an archaeological dig in the Sahara Desert, and what they found was remnants, somehow, of a very ancient lake. So we can imagine that in that area of the world that is just dry and sand and dune after dune, I don't know if you can imagine anything like that with me, a dry and sandy area. Can you imagine anything like that? Anybody living there? Any life springing up there? Can you imagine that with me, folks? A dryness there. And in the midst of that, there were bones of settlers, and there were individuals that had been there living at different times, and they were able to find and get details off of those bones to be able to determine what kind of lifestyle they had, what kind of things they hunted, and how they survived, and how they lived. But this is the question that I have for you today. You know, they were able to find that from those ancient bones. What do our bones convey to the world today? What do our bones speak to the world today? Now, I'm not talking about whenever you kneel and you crack, okay? Or there's a pop where there wasn't one before. But to what do our very lives, what do our entire selves communicate to a world today that is in need of hope now more than ever? Do we understand that God renews his people? Do we understand that God works in the midst of death? Do we understand that God is a redemptive God, a holy God, a God whose death is not the final answer? Do we understand that today? Yeah. Then we have hope. And we needn't be stopped or stymied by the problems that will inevitably confront us, because God is in the midst of those valleys as well. If you're in the midst of a valley right now, or if you think you're heading into one, or if you're heading out of one, God is with you each and every step of the way. And what he's saying to you as well is, this is not the final answer. I can bring life where there was death, where there was seemingly no life existing. I am God. A brother in Christ told me a story the other day of a cactus that had fallen over at his neighbor's. And they didn't have time to go ahead and chop it up and drag it away. They were leaving for the season. And they thought, well, it was dead, and they couldn't pick it up because a cactus has all that water in it. And understand, you don't want to grab a cactus without gloves and without some preparation. I have learned that living in Yuma and in the desert in Arizona. You don't want to do that. But whenever they came back, after they'd been away for months, guess what was blooming? That cactus. There was new life. For those of you who need hope today, know that your hope is in God, and in the God who loves you more than you can imagine. I invite you to join with me in a time of reflection and prayer. Use this however you would like. If you're feeling dry, simply offer that to God. If you're feeling like you're in the midst of a valley of bones, offer that to God. Offer yourself to God and simply say, Lord, fill me. And know that He already is. It's not because you're asking. It's because He loves you more than you can imagine. Join with me.